One.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome everybody to the Minneapolis chapter of Mad Dads Blog Radio. I'm excited that you can be here today. Let me just say this. We stand for Men Against Destruction, defending against drugs and social disorder. The Minneapolis chapter of Mad Dads started in October 3rd of 1998, which since then we have over 17 different programs that we produce and promote in the community to decrease crime and violence in our neighborhoods. We believe that it's an opportunity for us to take a stand against all the crime and violence that's going on. It's been a busy, very busy week for us on Blog Radio today, and we have really been working hard to make a difference and to really change the hearts and lives of individuals. And looks like we've got somebody on the air with us. Let's see who's on the air right now. Welcome to Blog Radio, Mad Dads. How you doing? Welcome to Blog Radio. How are you? Would you like to speak? Okay.
Yeah.
We have a call. Yeah. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
And who am I speaking with?
Oh,
Pedro.
Hey, Pedro. Pedro, you know, you've been a part of Mad Dads for a very long time, and could you tell the listeners what Mad Dads has done for you and how it's helped you in the community, and also give us some ideas of what this community can do to decrease violence and crime in our neighborhood?
Well, what Mad Dads has done for me has helped me out, brought me back with my kids and my family, you know, has helped me from drugs and alcohol, you know, has brought me to a support group, you know, that I never had an opportunity to be a part of. You know, it has brought me to a family, you know, and to you, BJ, you know, a dad figure that I never had.
Well, you know, that's wonderful. And how many kids do you have, Pedro?
I have two boys, a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old.
And, you know, we've been talking about violence in the community and how we fight it. What can we do, Pedro, to fight against the violence and the gangs in our community?
What can we do? We can do is by, uniting together and standing getting our neighbors and standing together, you know, we need to get our neighbors back in the hood, you know. You know, there's a lot of neighbors that like to sit down and don't do nothing about it. We need to get together and fight back crime.
Well, you're absolutely right. And we got to bring folks together. And if we don't bring folks together, we're going to destroy our community. This is all over the country, Pedro, that we've got this kind of situation going on all over the country where individuals are fighting for their lives and fighting for their families. I can't tell you a time that I have seen so many young people that are ready to stand up and take a stand. We're going to be having our youth rally, and we're going to be having Alex come on probably in a little bit and talk a little bit about what we're doing with the youth and how we're going to be doing an overnight with them and the kind of things that we're going to be doing in the community. So we're pretty excited about that. Pedro, I wanted just to recognize you and ask you to continue to fight for the lives of your children and continue to be an outstanding father and continue to do what's right in the community. You turned your life around. And right now you're struggling with your health. I know that. But, you know, you put a lot into giving back to Mad Dads. So we thank you very much. We ask you to continue to listen to us as we talk about some of the programs and services that we provide, okay?
Okay. Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Pedro. You know, our Men's Empowerment, it's a solving program that we partnership with Urban Ventures in. And when we believe that we can empower men and women, we found out through having our Men's Empowerment, that we also have an opportunity to build the hearts and minds of men, but then change their mates, their spouses, their girlfriends, their significant others, and help them to be all that they can be. You know, when you change a man, you must change the woman too. And so we decided that we would have a support group that would do just that, that would involve men and women in the fight that we're struggling. And so we meet every Tuesday. If you ever have a desire to be a part of what we're doing, we meet every Tuesday at exactly 5 p.m. And then Jack Strotter, which is our facilitator for our fathering program, meets every Thursday at 5 p.m. So you say, what do you do? What do you do? What happens at 5 p.m.? Well, what happens at 5 p.m. is that we have a meal. We don't want anybody to meet if they're hungry. And so many people are in need of nutritional meals, something hot, something good. And we have a nutritional meal that we serve every Tuesday and every Thursday. So your welcome is free. Costs you nothing. Our services and programs cost you absolutely zero. There is no cost to what we do. And so we want you to continue to be a part of what we do. We don't provide transportation, but if you get here and you need transportation, we'll provide you with some tokens to help you get back and forth to where you're going. We also have Sam Hill that works with our employment and housing, and he will help you find and locate a job. He's been very beneficial in helping those in the community that are looking for work, and he's got a track record of being helpful to many of those in our community. We've been working with incarcerated males, and we believe that working with incarcerated males is important because all incarcerated males are young now. They're getting younger and younger and younger. And I think it's important that we get behind the reason and find out exactly why. What's happening with our males? What is the problem? So why are so many of our males being incarcerated right now? What can we do to have an impact on our young males? And we found out that most of our males are missing a father. And so they go by and they listen to their big homies or individuals that will help them get support in their community. And not very often that's not the right person. We're going to go right to a caller right now, and then we're going to come back and talk more about fathering and parenting and why that's so important. Caller, how you doing? Welcome to Mad Dad's Blog Radio.
How's it going, VJ?
How you doing? Is this Brother Alex?
Yes, it is. It's nice to be speaking with you on the show, man.
Hey, Brother Alex, it's so good to have you on the show. Matter of fact, you know, we were talking in our meeting yesterday about you and how God is doing so great. Your report that you gave the staff about what you're doing with the young people with Mad Dads was extremely, extremely valuable. And so I thank you for what you're doing. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with the young people, what's going on with GRIP, or what's going on with our youth leadership and some of the other components that you're working on right now.
Well, with the GRIP program, which stands for those who don't know, it stands for the Get Real Youth Project. And what we do is we teach leadership to those who may not be too familiar with what it is to be a leader. So we do that through a lot of trips that we go on, and we make sure that we add a leadership piece to it, that everything that we do, every trip that we go to, we make sure that leadership is involved so that kids can learn and they can be trained on how to be leaders. One of the things that we've been doing with the GRIP program is we've been planning on actually making a movie, raising awareness of drugs and violence in our community on Northside, to be specific. So one thing that we've done is I allow the youth to assign different roles to each other. And I told them I have the only control I would have in the movie will be how to get it out there and the marketing and things like that. Otherwise, I wanted the youth to have full control with this movie. We're going to be working with some kids from University of St. Thomas, and it's just going to be awesome. It's going to be off the chain.
Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. What have you learned since you've been working with Mad Dads? Tell us some things that you learned as a young person that will help you in this fight for violence and crime in our community.
Well, you definitely can't do it by yourself. that's one thing I've learned. Well, I've learned many things, VJ, but just one thing that stands out is just you cannot do it by yourself. And a lot of times the youth out in the streets that are struggling, that needs help, who are, you know, who's going down the wrong path, they're trying to do things by themselves. And they don't have that, they don't have the correct guidance necessary to shape, you know, a young woman or a young man into the right direction. You know, sometimes the parents don't step in and, you know, it forces the child to do things on their own. Or the kid finds, you know, friends that are, you know, bad influences and the parents are not too involved in their life or not trying to be in their life. And then, you know, then they find themselves trying to do things with a group of people, but they do things very wrong, you know, wrong environment, wrong situations, and they find themselves doing wrong time, you know. And a lot of times people end up, you know, hurt behind that because ultimately whenever a child is involved in gang activity or drug activity, then, you know, typically that person ends up in jail or they're killed.
Well, you know, we got a population of 382,000 people, 452, sir, to be exact. And it looks like there, the total of reported assaults was 2,038 so far this year. People that have been assaulted, that's a lot of folks.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And what are some of the things that you feel as a young person that we can do because the assaults, I believe a lot of those assaults are coming from young people.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that you think that young people have no regard or do not care about who they hurt? They will hurt an old lady. They will hurt an old man. When I was young, you would never do anything to hurt your elders. What is it that's going wrong with our young people that will hurt children and our elders and don't care?
Typically is because a lot of times they don't care about themselves. You know, if a child is growing up in a kind of heavy environment where, you know, self-esteem is not too, you know, a healthy self-esteem is not taught or it's not, you know, it's not brought up in the child when that child is being brought up, a lot of times they start to forget about who they are. And so they lose their identity. In which case, if you can not be yourself, you cannot hurt yourself. So they start figuring out things to do. You know, they start getting into crime and they hurt elders. And they hurt all these other people because they really hurting themselves, you know, inside. But they don't know how to reach out and say, I need help. Because typically whatever gang life or whatever situation or whatever lifestyle that they're living is frowned upon to say I need help or to seek help or to, you know, to desire change at that. And so one thing that Mandez, what we've been doing is we're trying to prevent this, you know, with the youth program and with many other programs that we have. You know, it's awesome to have the parenting class. Because there's people out there who may feel that they're the best parent in the world, and then it's always something that they can learn from Mr. Strotter. You know what I mean? It's always something to learn. When the youth realize that they are somebody, that they are lovable, valuable, and worthwhile, when they have that instilled in their hearts, where they have that inside their soul, then they can feel. And I mean that the thought after they start to learn how to feel and how to care about themselves, the thought of hurting others won't even exist. Especially when they have the Lord's love inside of them, when they know that someone loves them, even if no one on earth does, but they know that God loves them, then they would never have to even think about hurting other people. So that's what I want to bring to the youth here.
And I think that's great, Alex, because what I thought we would do right now, Alex, and I want you to take the lead on this, I thought we would have a special short prayer for our young people to have breakthroughs. And no better person than you, Alex, to give that prayer to your peers to let them know how much we love them and how much we know that if God comes in the mix, that if God has a breakthrough for them, that if God begins to come in their hearts and their souls and their minds and their spirits, that they will begin to see the light, to see the light, to see that they can live to be great, to see that there's greatness within them, to see that with the help of God, that there's nothing that they can't do, and that they've got everything they need to be as awesome as they can be. So let's just pray. And Al, let's take us in prayer right now.
Father God, I pray for your son's blood right now over the youth in our society, Lord. I pray that all of your grace and all of your mercy and your love and your care and your guidance is instilled within those who are seeking you, Lord. And I pray that those who are blinded by the devil's trickery, Lord, I pray that you lift that blindfold off of their eyes and they see the light and they see you for who you really are, and that is love, Lord. And I pray that that Mad Dads and any other organizations that's out there helping the youth, I pray that you fight to make them stronger, and that you bring us under your wings, and that you guide us so we can reach more and more people, Lord. And I pray that that anyone that we touch, anyone that we speak to, anyone that we have any kind of impact on their lives, that they can think about this and keep this in their memory forever, so that they can teach that to the next generation after, Lord. In your son's name I pray, amen.
Amen, Alex. That's great. And Sharika will be calling in to talk about the Moms Division and what's going on there, and the future of the women that have supported us, and how they can support us, and how women can be a big part of this. Alex, you know for sure that nothing can be done without the women. The women are so critical to everything we do in the world. There would be no more kids. There would be no more babies. There would be no more anything if it wasn't for women. Men are strong and they're muscular and they're all that, but we would be nothing, like my famous man James Brown said, without a woman and a girl today, we would be nothing. So I want to talk, Alex, a little bit about Versalis and how does helping us and crime and violence play a role? I believe if you're healthy, if you eat healthy, if you take good care of yourself, you take good care of your body, if you exercise, if you do the right things, that your mind begins to work right, that your body and your soul begins to work right. So I think it's important to take care of your body. When you're eating Cheetos and drinking Grape Pop and you're doing all those things that you know you like to do, those things aren't good for you, though. Junk food isn't good for you. It tastes good, but it's not nutritious for you. It makes you feel like you're full, but you're full of junk. So when your body's full of junk, your mind's full of junk. Am I making sense to you? So we have to teach our young people. We have to teach our young people how to eat healthy, how to be healthy, and how to take care of themselves in a healthy manner. And if you're not healthy physically, how can you be healthy mentally?
Exactly.
So we're going to teach them, and Alex, you're going to be a big part of Mad Dad's enterprise and teaching folks how to be healthy mentally, physically, and socially, especially our young people. So we're excited about Versalis and our partnership and how we make that work and what we do with that and how nutrition plays a role, and not only in how we raise dollars, but also in how we change the hearts and spirits of our men and women in our community. So I want to thank you for being a part of that. Let's go. Let's keep going into other things about what you're doing, Alex, in the youth department.
Yeah, definitely. Coming up pretty soon, we're going to be having the Rap for Peace tour. We just had a meeting with a young lady earlier this morning. Lord, forgive me, I forgot her name, but we're going to have a guest later on. He's going to call us, and he's a good friend of hers. So, but we're going to have a Rap for Peace, and the young lady was letting me know she has a lot of poets and rappers who are up and coming. And then I have brought up the Rap for Peace tour, and I told her that I would love to have them on us with us with the Rap for Peace tour. And what that consists of is we're going to be hitting up the hot spots of North Side and South Side, and we're going to perform poems and songs, you know, rap songs. Or if you're a singer, you can go ahead and definitely join us. We're going to perform songs about peace and fighting back our community, fighting to get back, you know, our community from, you know, forces that's been destroying us for so long, and how we're not scared and how we're going to get it back and how we got, you know, the number one aspect on our side, the number one factor on our side, and that's that connection with the Lord. So we're going to definitely do this tour. It's definitely going to be an all-day event. We're going to record it. So if any of you out there on South Side, North Side, Minneapolis, and you want to be a part of it, make sure you contact Mad Dad. I can give you guys the number. Make sure.
Hey, Alex, we got another caller, and you just hold on with that, okay?
Okay, no problem.
Hold on, Alex. Okay. You're on the line. How you doing? Welcome to Minneapolis Mad Dad's Blog Radio.
Hi, what up?
Hey, who am I speaking with?
This is Amungua.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Fine,
good to meet you. Yeah, you know, our topic today is about violence in the community and our young people.
Yeah.
So let's get your opinion, what you think, your thoughts about it, sir.
Well, my thoughts is, one of the things I think majorly is that, like, I mean, when it comes to young people in violence, is like sometimes it's not always their fault. It's more like the environment that they've been placed into. Like, and I mean, so you can't just judge people based on what you do. True actions speak louder than words, but actions don't tell the whole story. Like, I don't know, it's hard, but like sometimes you just put in a tough position. Like if you trying to juggle something, like you can either go out here and join a gang and something and, you know, have some type of, like, yes, you're going to be doing wrong, you're going to be selling stuff, but at the same time, you're going to be getting some type of income that's going to be coming in and feeding your family, especially the job market the way it is right now. It's hard for everybody to find a job, even little kids. I mean, people in the higher-ups ain't getting their position, so they're, like, working even at, like, stuff like Best Buy and all these other little jobs that should be taken by, you know, teenagers. So when those jobs are taken by older people, then teenagers can't find a job, and then that just brings everything down. So, I mean, it's just a real tough situation.
So if you were in charge of the dollars that went toward youth right now, what would be some of the things that you would do to make a difference immediately?
Some of the things that I would do immediately to make a difference, let's see. One thing I would definitely heavily fund programs like, you know, Boys and Girls Clubs and stuff like that, just so that, you know, kids can just have a place to go, even like after they get out of school or whatever, just so, you know, they ain't got to be out there and, you know, the rough streets, you know, downtown and whatnot. So they can just, you know, have a place to go and chill and a safe environment for them to be at, you know, outside school.
Now tell us a little bit about what you do.
Right now, I'm a high school. I'm a college student, and I'm trying to go into secondary education. You know, teach high school biology and math, and so I'm working on my degree right now.
And what school are you at?
I just actually moved up here. I was at Indiana University for a while, pre-med, and then, you know, I decided that I didn't want to go with the route of medicine, so I came up here to start somewhere new. Right now, I'm at Ember Hills waiting on my in-state tuition to kick in so I can go to the U, because low-key, I can't really afford out-of-state tuition right now. It's kind of beasting.
Yeah, tuition is hard, man. Like you said, finances is hard. Tell us how you stayed out of gangs. What did you do? What kept you out of gangs?
The thing that kept me out was, honestly, I was very active, like, in my school. I was on a basketball team. I was on a football team. I did track. Like, I did pretty much everything I could. And outside that, you know, I did have a little job that was, you know, helping me out, you know, just so I could, you know, have a little free money to be running around here. Basically, that's primarily it. Like, pretty much all my time was spent, you know, doing extracurricular activities. And when I was done with that, I come home too tired to be doing anything else, and I was sleeping. So, yeah.
So that's, you know, did you grow up in a neighborhood that was gang infested?
No, not necessarily gang infested. Like, I grew up around, I grew up right outside Gary, but it was like the suburbs outside Gary. So, I mean, I affiliated with, you know, a lot of people that were from, you know, bad neighborhoods. But, you know, I tried to keep myself and my friends, you know, out of that type of lifestyle.
Okay. And so tell me exactly maybe some things that you feel that us as community of adults, what should adults do? What What should our role be? And then I'm going to go back to Alex, and I'm going to come back to you. What should our role be?
Well, as adults, our role should be just, like, primarily just setting a good example and you know, letting kids know that, you know, just try to make a difference in at least one little kid's life. I mean, because, I mean, you never know how that's going to impact him, and that can make a huge difference to him, even though it's something small to you, like just volunteering. I mean, me personally, I'm in a fraternity, Phi Beta Sigma, the greatest fraternity on earth. But, like one thing we do a lot of community service. And, I mean, I know just last year, like, I personally logged in at least, like, 100 hours of community service easily over that, just at a whole bunch of different places, the homeless shelters, Boys and Girls Clubs, all that kinds of stuff. And, you know, so just helping out in any way, I mean, it's not that big of a deal to you. I mean, I'm not saying you have to go out there and do, you know, like 1,000 hours of community service. I mean, just a couple here and there, and you will make a difference. So that's really all you have to do, just donate a little bit of your time.
I would like to add in that, you know, even though it may be a little bit of time, you know, those little bit of time create big impacts with certain people, with certain individuals. You know, for them little kids to, you know, that's out, that might be heading the wrong direction, they might see a big brother, you know, and they say, okay, he's doing his thing. I see how he's living. You know, I want to do that. I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. And truth be told, you know, young kids who might be, you know, trapped in that gang life, they want to leave. They want to get out. And a lot of times they can't. You know what I mean? Just like you said earlier, you know, a lot of times people, it's just the environment. And if that's all you know, that's all you will learn. And but once someone learns different or somebody comes along and they teach differently, then that whole thought process of that kid that might be trapped in the gang life, he wants to now leave. And then oftentimes, you know, the big homies in the gang, they, you know, they do what they call blood oaths. You know, you get hurt or something, you get killed, or, you know, you jumped out or whatever, you know, things that will hinder somebody from leaving and living a better lifestyle. So yeah, those little bit of time that we might spend on the streets, it makes big impacts.
You know, and one of the things that we found out, we have our group, which is called GRIP, which is Gang Reduction Related Intervention Program. And we found out from a lot of these young men that are in gangs at 14, 12, 13, 15, that they are afraid to go back home because there's no other option for them than to get back involved with the homies, because in the neighborhood they live in, either you in or you out. And once you in, you in. You can't be out just because you went to jail, because jail sometimes gives you more recognition, because now you've been to jail and you're supposed to be really OG'd in because you did some time. But we found out that it is so hard that a lot of these kids are afraid because they want to. They understand that none of them gang members were there for them while they were in jail. And now they want them to come back and pretend like everything's okay. So it's hard. And when we try to, it's hard for mom to up and move because she's invested in a home and she just can't up and move. So a lot of times kids are stuck in that situation. And the only way that they can get out is to begin to have a relationship with God, be a part of the church, and find new friends.
So
what do you say to a kid that wants out but can't really figure it out? What do you say? As you two, I got my two young people on, and I want to hear what you think and what you say.
I would say that the kid who wants out, the best thing you can do for yourself is just get that education and get your degree. I mean, get your diploma, and then, you know, that's where things open up. Like, you can go away to school, like, and then from there, you know, you can do all kinds of things. And, I mean, the biggest thing you got to remember is, like, I mean, if you do get the degree and you do, you know, go away to school, you got to start, like, you're getting a fresh start. So you got to take advantage of that and, you know, just, you know, reinvent yourself. I mean, because ain't no tellies in college. At this point, you know, you're pursuing a higher education. So you should be trying to better yourself.
Yeah.
Education is the key. If you can get education, you can change the direction of your life and your future. That's one of the reasons why we go into the schools. We found out that the kids that are from the ages of, kindergarten on up to the sixth grade still are dreaming and dreaming big. It's when they get above the seventh grade, eighth grade, and in high school, they start to fade away from their dreams and what's important. So it's important for us to get to these kids young, to have them still dream and stay determined and stay focused on their dreams like you two gentlemen have done. You two gentlemen, I'm very proud of you. Why don't you share just a little bit about what your dream is, both of you specifically. Alex will take you first, then we'll take my brother, just to talk about what your dream is.
Well, one of my many dreams I have, the main thing is I want to be an entrepreneur, and I've already accomplished owning one business now, but I want to own more businesses to open up mainly to surrender around the charity type ordeal. So anything that I do, any company that I open up, I want it to be going towards, I want a certain percentage to be going towards a charity. It would not be not one of my businesses that would be up and not be for charity. So that's just one thing. And I'm also going, I want to go to college, make sure I get my doctorate in psychology and theology, make sure I get those things going so I can have something to fall back on, something I love doing and studying about.
Well, that's great. And the one thing that I want to, let's hear, you'll see, my brother, go ahead.
Well, right now, my long-term goal is once I get my teaching license and everything and my bachelor's, what I really want to do is teach over in Japan for a little bit. It's called a DOT program, and I would be teaching at a U.S. Army base for kids whose parents got stationed in Japan, and I'd be teaching high school biology and math over there, and I'd probably do that for about 5 years then. Come back over here, get my master's, get my doctorate, become a professor, and that's one of the roads that I'm pursuing heavily right now. But I mean, the other thing that I'm doing is, I just experimenting with music a little bit. I'm actually going up to Chicago in a couple of weeks to record a mixtape, and so I'm trying to do the whole MC thing, and and be me. That's pretty much what I'm trying to do.
Well, that's great. It sounds like you guys have great ambition. And we here at Blog Radio, Minneapolis Mad Dads Blog Radio, believes that our job and our role is to give ambition to those that need it. Our job and our role as men in our community is give strength to our young people. So we want to just say to both of you right now that we're continuously praying for you, praying for your success, praying that God will give you the will and determination. Keep doing what you're doing because nothing great ever comes easy, correct?
Not at all. Not at all.
That's
right. If it came easy, you wouldn't appreciate it anyway. So, yeah.
So then we have to continue to work hard to do what we're doing. And I'm excited about you. You do spoken word. Is that correct? You said, sir.
Yeah, I do spoken word, MC a little bit. I do it all.
Well, I'd like to hear one of your pieces for the Blog Radio listeners, just to hear a little bit of what you do. Could you do one of your pieces for me?
Yeah, no problem. Once upon a time, black people were set free, but our actions and our mentality kept us mentally in slavery. Smoking blacks, busting gas, and slagging slacks, ready to die bravely. Blasting all types of stereos and enhancing stereotypes, claiming to be forgotten by those who run the stars and stripes, and shots ring out in dark nights from those who claim to be of a thug mentality. So while the sun rises, the sun sets, and every morning you can hear another mother mourning. And those left behind scorning retaliate without a warning. So by the next morning, you can hear another mother mourning. And how do you figure when one finger pulls one trigger, it just erases the smiles off so many faces and replaces it with sorrow and gloom that follows and looms with you from tomorrow all the way to the tomb? A sorrow that consumes and swallows all happy memories and leaves you feeling as hollow as the shell that fell when the bullet it held took away the breath of a loved one like the winds out of a sail and sent them to heaven to dwell. Or at least heaven is what you hope, because that hope is the only thing that lets you cope and stops you from sliding down the slippery slope from mildly melancholy to sadness to a little bit angry and then ultimately madness. And where's the silver lining in all this? Well, that's really you, because the only way to see the light is if you let yours shine through.
Wow, that's cool, man. That's awesome, brother. I love that. And I believe you're absolutely right. The only way you can see you is if you let this light shine through you. That's awesome. When did you write that?
I wrote that. So I moved here in January. I wrote that in early January after I first moved up here.
And what was it that inspired you to write that?
Well, just a lot of stuff that I see going through. A lot of my friends from Indiana, you know, they're having a lot of struggles right now with their family members, going through a lot of negative stuff in their lives. And, you know, those are my friends and those are my family members, really. So I feel their struggle and everything. So, I mean, that whole downward spiral that, you know, that we all go through, I try to do something to kind of give that a little bit more meaning. And, you know, so just kind of put that out there and let them know that there is a lighter side to it. And if you stay negative about everything, you know, it's not going to change. You gotta think positively and let that light shine.
Man, that is great. Listen, you hold on, because I want to talk some more to you. We're going to another caller. So, caller, how you doing? You're on the line. Thanks for calling Blog Talk Radio with Minneapolis Mad Dad.
Hey, how
you
doing today? Yes, how you doing?
Hey, doing great. Who am I speaking to?
You're talking to Gil.
Hey, Gil, how's it going, man? You know, we're talking about gangs. Did you hear the young man's poem?
Yeah, I heard his poem. The spoken word was beautiful. You know, that just shows you just how much talent we have out there in our youth, you know?
And as a young man that, you're not young anymore because we're about the same age. About time to go. Yeah, you're still young. Tell me some of the things that you believe that we need to do to keep our kids out of gangs and away from gangs. What do we need to do? What do we, me and you and the rest of the men in our community, what do we have to do, not need to do? What is it that we have to do?
Well, I think have to do and need to do running concurrent with each other, VJ. It's because, like, one thing that we have to do, we have to acknowledge the truth. We have to stop telling ourselves that we can walk through this situation with gold-colored glasses on. You know, we have to stand up to the reality of the situation and understand that some tough choices have to be made in our community. And these tough choices are going to have to be made by some stand-up, strong, morally and spiritually based men. Because this is what we're fighting now. We're fighting the residue and the after effect of all the negativity that we as men of color have laid up here and enforced on our community. Like we've not been the fathers to our children. We haven't been the educators. We haven't been the role models. You know what I'm saying? We haven't been the husbands to our wives. We haven't been the brothers to our sisters. You know. And we have been the sons to our mothers. We are the pillar of our community, and we have to stand up and support all that weight that we've laid up here and caused through the devastation of our neglect of our responsibilities in our community.
You know, what do you guys think? I got two younger guys listening to you. I'd like you guys to respond on what Gil just said.
Go ahead, sir.
No, after you, go ahead.
I feel that it's one of them things that you know that drives me to do what I do, you know, as far as with the GRIP program, you know, just trying to let people know that look, there is such thing as a 20 year prison sentence, you know what I mean? Like there is something out there that you don't want to have that you know, gang life is not what is fabricated to be on. Well, it's not even fabricated. I mean, even with some things that's kind of fake, you know, with the movie situation, but, you know, these things coming from real, you know, real people, real crimes. And, you know, one thing that we have to shine light on is letting them know, look, that's not to be glorified. Glorify the Lord and not crime. I mean, this stuff right here would get you in the wrong place. And, you know, Gil said it many times whenever we go visit schools and when he visits schools, you know, he done some heavy time that no one should, you know, spend, especially not starting from your youth. You know, you shouldn't ever go to prison, you know, but You know, especially, but, you know, that shouldn't be a target. That shouldn't be a goal. You know, me and my brother right here, you know, we've been talking about our goals, and these are things that's going to better us in our future. But, you know, we want to shine light and say, look, this prison is not a goal. That's not where you need to be. That's not college. You know what I mean? That's not where you need to be. So, yeah, so, you know, I definitely feel where Gil's coming from.
Thank you, sir. And we'll hear from other brothers.
I definitely saw a lot of the stuff he was saying about like the necessity of it all and what we have to do. And one of the things that we need to remember is like no matter where you've been, like it's never and where you are right now, it's never too late to be a better person today than you were yesterday. And you know you can always change the situation around. You just gotta stay positive and you know keep striving to better yourself. And if you can keep doing that, like can't nothing really hold you back.
And I think determination is what you got to have. You know, Alex, did you have a spoken word piece you wanted to give us today?
I can grab one of my things, man.
You can grab one of your things? That means you can get one ready for us? Well,
yeah,
I'm going to answer. Get one ready and let me know when you're ready. I'm going to go back to Gil, and Gil, just talk about I want people to know the seriousness of living a gang lifestyle is and what it really brings to you. I think some of our listeners are not really sure about this gang thing, and some of them are, you know, maybe convinced that this is what they want for their lives, and maybe you can shed some light on them to let them know this is not what you want, and here's some of the reasons why.
Well, one of the main reasons why is that is the results from your labor. One, there's no Social Security in being a gang member. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing that's going to lay up here, you know what I'm saying, and enhance your life. Everything that you do while you are part of a gang is on a negative level. Everything, the consequences that you have are only monetary, you know what I'm saying? They only live for an instant. Once you are no longer fruitful in the gang, no one, you're no longer useful to the gang, and no longer you're only fruitful to the gang, then you're no longer useful to the gang. You know,
mm-hmm.
I made a bad decision when I was coming up. I joined the gang when I was 11 years old. And from 11 years old all the way on up to the time that I was 50 years old, I was a member of the gang, an active member of the gang. And the reason that I was an active member of the gang is because, see, I had no other outlet. I had no other alternative. That's what I told myself because I had lived in a negative environment so long that I didn't understand that it was a whole lot more in my life that was out there for me. So the people that I associated with were all negative people. So that the things, all the results that I got in my life were negative. What I'm trying to tell these kids is this, is that I understand the glorification of being with your peers and everybody's thugging and everybody's just plugged and all that stuff. But what you got to understand is that the people that you are around thugging with and you're plugged up with and stuff, you know what I'm saying, what do they have to offer you to sustain your life? And when you start asking yourself those questions and stuff, you know what I'm saying, then you're going to start coming to the realization and stuff that you're really out there by yourself, you know? So that's one of the main things that these guys that offer these gangs right now got to understand, is that you're not only hurting yourself by being a member in the gang, because all your energy, all your youth, all your ideas and creativities are owned by somebody else. Because remember, you are always under rules and regulations of somebody else. You're not your own man.
And you know, I think you're absolutely right, Gil. Thank you very much, man. And I just love the fact that you share and open up your heart and give some things that Alex and others probably really didn't know, because unless you're entrenched in that for as many years as you have, you wouldn't know. And at the age of 50-something now, you're able to give back to the community, but you wasted 50 years of your life that you could have been doing something greater with your life, man, with the knowledge and skills that you have. And we always talk about don't look back, look forward, but we just look back to say don't waste your time. We don't want Alex to waste his time. We don't want my brother to waste his time. Do what you're doing now. See the world in a great way. See all the wonderful and beautiful things that there's to see. Alex, do you have your spoken word piece ready for us?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, let's hear it.
All right. Tired of my lifestyle, had to make a change. Had it with things always up in my face. Had it with obstacles all in my way. I'ma have to say something I don't really need to say. But I had it with the smirk face, pastors in the church faking, acting like they working for the Lord, but they work for Satan. And I pray that the people in the congregation soon awaken, find out their money and their souls are taken. But one thing they don't know about me, Lord bless me with a heart that allowed me to see. And he blessed me with some eyes that allows me to spy. And he blessed me with a brain that allows me to gain. I know somebody knows my pain, not just my name, but somebody knows my gang, and it's you. So I give them my life and my glory. I messed up my own stuff, but yeah, that's a little bit about a little bit of my stuff right there.
Hey, that's good, man. I want you to practice a little more because next time we don't want you messing up. You know, and I know you can do that for me, Alex. I know you can do that, man. You got the skill. Now, you know, one person we don't want to ask to rap is Gil. We don't want him rapping.
No, I can't rap.
No, he can talk, but he can't. He can't. He'll mess it all up. Hey, Gil, you know, I think it's really important that generations talk. We've got our generation, and we've got the generation before us that is talking right now. And I think it's important to have these kind of conversations. So tell me some things that you think our listeners can do, Gil, from our generational standpoint, to connect the two generations together?
Well, I think the one thing that we have to do is that we have to stop pointing the finger at these kids, and we have to stop omitting them from the solutions. You know, it's because, like, these kids that you experience this every day, BJ, is that these kids are smart. These kids have ideas, and these kids have focus and, you know, they focus on things that are relevant to them. We see this in our churches. We see this in our community, our organizational activities that we have throughout the city and stuff. You know what I'm saying? With the night outs and stuff like that. We see all this creative energy that our children have. All right. So I'm thinking that as an older person, you know, whose time, I'm not gonna say my time, our time has passed. I'm saying that like when Brother Don Samuels, what he said at that funeral was that I would gladly sit down today if a young person would stand up and do what I'm doing right now. You know, and that's going out there and getting this information out to these kids and letting these kids know that, hey, you don't have to get hit by the truck, buddy, to understand that truck will kill you. You don't have to lay up, you know what I'm saying, and get involved in drugs and pick up alcohol to understand that these things, you know what I'm saying, will cause you to make very wrong decisions in your life. You know, so if there's anything that I think that we can exchange culturally and intellectually and spiritually from an older person to a younger person, is that you don't have to lay up here and make the same mistakes that we've made. You know, that a lot of us were idealists. A lot of us thought that what we were doing was going to impact the world, you know. But now through experience, God has allowed us to live here and go through those things, to live here and see the end results of our thinking. And the end result of our thinking is our society being the way it is today, our homes being the way they are today, our children being the way they are today, our schools, our community, everything comes back from bad decisions that we have made as older men. So I'm saying that these kids, they live in an environment in which older people have made mistakes. Now they're intelligent enough to understand that this is not how they want to live. You know? So I'm thinking
Absolutely.
That we can get together with these kids and we can come up with a solution. Because like Brother Don Samuel said, he said that if one of these young kids will stand up, if one of these
mm-hmm.
young men, one of these young ladies would just stand up, that he would gladly sit down.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Gil, would you gladly sit down if a kid would stand up and take your place now?
Hey, man, I'm trying to say, BJ, I'm sitting down right now because I know Alex is getting ready to step up. You know, I had a very a good relationship with Alex. I met him at a Brooklyn Center. He was coming home from school, I believe it was. And he was like a magnetic reaction that we just spiritually connected, and he said some things that he needed to get around some positive people that he wanted to give back to the community, and the next thing you know, we had a working relationship. So those are the things that I know. See, those are the things and the examples that God puts in our lives, like Brother Alex and the brother on the phone with you right now. You understand? Is that these things that we're talking about are possible. These kids will step up.
Now, yes, the brother that's on, the other young brother that we've got on the phone. Introduce yourself again. Your name is?
My name is Amungwa Bonu.
How do you spell that? Amungwa?
Yeah, it's A-M-U-N-G-W-A.
Okay. Is that African? That's African, correct?
Yes, it is. It's Cameroonian.
Cameroon, man. Cameroon is a great place. When I was in training, I met a young lady from Cameroon. She's a wonderful lady, and she helped me out of my class and stuff. I'll never forget Cameroonians. I had an opportunity to be with a Cameroonian family. Everybody called me uncle and you know, brother, and it was a beautiful thing, man. I never felt so connected to a family. So I know you must feel that all the time of being from Cameroon.
Yeah, I mean, the way we see it is, like, we don't have, there's no such thing as cousins, you know, friends. It's just, that's your family. The people you associate with, that is your family. Like, no matter how related to them or not, like, if you see these people in a positive light and if they influence your life in a positive way, that is your family.
Amen.
And I think we used to be like that, Gil, back in the 60s, didn't we?
That's right. That's right. When they used to hold, you know, like the people down the block, led people, you know what I'm saying, to kick me and my butters. They seen me doing something wrong, you know. But
that was your family.
They take me straight to my house.
So I'm going to ask, I want to thank my brother, let me say this right, Amungwa?
Amungwa.
Amungwa. Okay. It's going to take me a few times. Will you come on next week and talk? Give me another week to get your name right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Tell me some closing thoughts. I want to give you, Alex, and Gil a chance to give us some closing thoughts about what we've all talked about. Just close us out with some final words, would you?
Final words is, like, really, like everybody said, like, only you can make a difference. And, yeah, it's, like, we are influenced by what the generation before us has done. Just, like, it's our part now to influence what the generation under us, that's coming up under us, is that's what they're going to experience. So, I mean, if we make the wrong choices, then they're going to, you know, follow down that downward spiral. It's our place to turn things around and, you know, just get things in a more positive direction.
Okay, that's absolutely right. Okay, Alex?
You know, he just hit it, man, right there. You know, we want to provide something for ourselves and for the generation that comes after us. You know, we want them to say, you know, this is what I want to work for. This is what I'm looking forward to do. We want to provide, you know, businesses and teachers and, you know, we want to provide all those good things for our upcoming youth so they can be proud of, you know, their generation and then the next one that's going to come after that. And that would be the first thing. That would be the best way, the most effective way we can kill this generational curse.
And Gil?
Yeah, and I'm going to piggyback on both other things those guys just said, you know, and I would like to say that as a community that we all have to stand up. We all have to share this momentous task that's before us, you know, that the man dad is only about two guys strong with our volunteer base. I'm saying that, you know, if people got to lay up here and start putting their actions where their mouth at, you know, stand up those papers and stuff, you know what I'm saying, and step up to the plate and get involved, you know what I'm saying? Be one of those ones that's going to lay up here, you know what I'm saying, and pick up that sword to lay up here and go against the injustices and the social imbalances and stuff and saying that we see off in our communities and stuff, that we have to be the voice that we talk about. You know what I'm saying? Our actions got to live here and support the things that we're saying out of our mouth. And I'm saying that you out there in radio land and the ones that are picking these signals up and stuff, you know what I'm saying? As young people, man, it's time for you to make a difference. It's time for you to open up your mouth. It's time for you to let your voice be heard.
And, you know, I think what's really important for all of us is remember that if you're trying to do it by yourself, you can't do it. We talked to Alex, and one of the biggest lessons he told me he learned from being a part of Mad Dads is that the long rangers don't get it done. People that work alone never get any real work done. It's those that work with the team, those that believe in the team. And even though the team sometimes is challenging, Gil, you know, and you know we know that from working with
That's
our
right.
team. Even though the team has its issues, but you, when you think about how much impact we have on our community based on we have a team, anytime somebody sees two or three or four green shirts, they think automatically that there's a movement going on. When they see one guy with a green shirt, they think there's a guy with a green shirt doing something. But when they see more than one, they say there's a movement happening right now. And we're about having a movement happen. That's why we talk all the time about Mad Dad and our programs and the things that we do, that it's not a job. It's a movement. We just had a gentleman that was here. He came to pick up, you know, a few dollars and everything. But he said, I didn't really get the message that it was a movement. I got the message that I had a job. I didn't get it till it was over that I was in a movement. And he was in a movement. Mad Dad's was a movement. So it's not about how many hours you put in and how much you make. It's about how many lives do you change? How many people do you help? And how do you help do it? So I get real excited when I hear about that. And I get excited when I know that brothers, like these two young brothers that we have on the air with us, Gil, continue. Could my brother from Cameroon, could you just for a minute give me a word of encouragement for the young listeners that are listening to our show?
Word of encouragement, you can always start new. Like, no matter what you've done, you can always. No matter if you're 11 or if you're 111, it's never too late to start on a new journey to better yourself. And, you know, and as long as you keep striving to better yourself and keep moving forward and, you know, have the determination and, like, you got to have the determination and, you know, you got to have that drive it's never too late and you can make it.
Alex?
For words of encouragement, you know, just understand that you are worth more than meets the eye, you know. Understand that you have power behind your actions and your words and, every person that you come in contact with, you have power. Understand that you can either use it for good or bad. But the most effective way that you can change a life especially a whole community is if you use your powers for good. If you can sit here and you know that that joining a gang life and wasting your power on death, then that's what you're going to receive. But if you know and you realize that you can use your power for greatness and become entrepreneurs, become teachers, you know, to become the next VJ Smith or, you know what I mean, to become a writer, then you'll be using that to build a whole new structure of living, positiveness, you know, for the next generation to look forward to, and so that they can build off from that, and that becomes the brand new foundation, and that becomes the new standard, and negativity won't even exist anymore if we can continue to do so.
We got another caller, Alex, and I'm gonna go to Gil for his last words. New caller, how you doing?
I am wonderful. Grace and peace, my brother VJ. How are you today?
Hey, we're doing great. Thank you for calling Blog Talk Radio with Minneapolis Chapter of Mad Dad. Why don't you give us just a closing remark? We've been talking about violence in the community and our young people and what we need to do. Before we close out, we've got 1 minute left. Why don't you give us our closing remark?
I just know we just have to come together as a people. We have to put God first and let him just do what he needs to do in the community. We have to go back to the roots and just gather as a family. And then from there, we should just, you know, do what we do best. And that's just pray for one another and be together in the court for one another. Amen?
Amen. Well, man. Thank you. We got what? We got 34 seconds left. I'm going to go to another caller. Caller, how you doing? We got 31 seconds left on Blog Talk Radio, Minneapolis Mad Dads. How you doing? Caller? Caller, you on there? Okay, we lost that caller. But I want to thank all our guests for calling in. I thank you very much for being a part of our show. And want to let you know that we will be back every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. At 1 o'clock, right here on Blog Radio, Minneapolis Mad Dads Blog Radio, talking about the things that affect you, the things that impact your community, and the things that you can do to make a difference. God bless y'all.
God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless.
Okay. So, who's that? Who's that? Who was it? That you? Who was it? They didn't say anything. Okay. Last week's show. So, yeah, that's what... You can't...
But it is. Yeah, but it's